on this episode of Pottages.
You just said Yamaki, and I was really confused.
Maki and Yamaki and Yamato.
Oh my gosh, she is Yamaki. Oh my gosh, you guys.
And there's Maki, Yamaki, Yamato, Yagami.
Patamon's butt.
Patamon's infected butt.
Only his butt is infected.
No. I couldn't take it seriously. You know, now I'm trying to remember if they've ever spoken, like, just the two of them. And I don't recall any interactions either.
Oh my god, it's Ken's D3! Oh my god!
Gonna need your password. You can use mine to get on it.
No, Izzy. Before we get into the show, I just want to let everyone know that we're doing another round of the Try Giveaway Extravaganza. So, same deal as last time, if you've been around with us since then. And if you haven't, it's a big pool of prizes, 10 ways to enter, and 3 winners. And each winner would get to choose one prize from the pool. A lot of the same prizes last time, but a couple of new prizes this time around. First off, we have Agumon and Gabumon pouches, and Mimi and Joe microfiber cloths, a Knife of Day scarf / towel thingy, a CD of 7 Tri version, and new pins, chibi pins of the 8 Adventure Kids in Digimon. We previously just had ones of, I think, Palmon and Kushiro. Now we have the full set of all the kids and their Digimon. So, yeah. So here's how you can enter. 10 different ways. First way, if you're listening to this, you can send us a special code word you can only hear from this episode, which is Sundere. So email pottage@gmail.com with the secret code word Sundere, and that's one entry. You can also, we announced it on social media, so that's Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Reddit, and there are ways through all those that you can enter by either liking or retweeting. And we have the full description of all these different rules and the ways you can enter on the site, which you can go to pottages.com/contest. And you can also, if you're a Patreon subscriber, or a Patreon, as we like to call you, then you can get 5 entries. And if you leave the podcast review in iTunes and then screenshot it and email the screenshot to pottages@gmail.com, then we give you 10 entries for this giveaway and all future giveaways. So if you've emailed us before, then you don't need to do that again. So cool. So it's running until Friday, June 3rd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So yeah, good luck. May the odds be ever in your digi favor. And now enjoy the show. Izzy, I'm sorry I stole the mic from you.
You can use mine to get on the internet. Pottages!
Welcome to Pottages, episode 013, Confessions of a Triaholic.
Try Chapter 3, Teaser 1 Reactions.
Recorded May 28th, 2016, in the dead of night.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I am Ashley McDonald, and I am joined by Asher Softman.
Why did you start with me? That's not cool.
I just felt like mixing up.
I never go first.
Oh, that's too bad. You did. Andrew Softman.
It is late at night.
Cool, cool. And Jeff Ruberg.
Sundere? Sundere?
I accept this.
At least it's not Yandere.
Yeah. I totally did not get the inflection or anything out of that voice correct, so.
Sundere! Sundere!
On that note, we are here to have a quick reaction episode about the recent PV preview teaser that's been released for Try Chapter 3, and that is, the movie is coming out September 24th, I think is the date, and so that's about 5 months away, no, 4 months away, 4 months away. I can do math. Nine minus four is five. 9 minus 5 is 4. It's 4 months away.
4 months away.
Jeff, you're supposed to be the mathy one of us.
Once you reach a certain level of math, like as a math major, you stop actually dealing with like actual numbers, and it's more theoretical and stuff. So, you know, if you want to have like a proof about...
Sounds like an excuse to me.
I don't know. A person at work who is the email person and is very mathy is also like I'm pretty sure she studied math, and she's like, yeah, I can't do basic math.
No.
Math.
Yeah, like, I'm aware.
Well, that's because she's a girl. I mean, girls just can't do math.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
Glad we taught women a lesson. They can't do math. That's what we should teach people in school. Instead of, like, teaching them things, teach them what they can and can't do.
Yeah, that's, we should just blatantly do that.
Isn't that what school does?
Yeah, it kind of is what school does. Oh, boy.
School's great.
So now we're going to do a thing. I think we've done this in mostly in our previous PV episode, where we're going to All of us are going to sit around a computer and watch the PV and pause to react to things. And we don't actually, we're all in two different time zones. So we're not actually sitting around together, but it's Skype, magic of Skype. We're going to watch these. And yeah, so we have a couple of different places we have noted down just to pause at.
No, Jeff has places.
Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about was 7 seconds in, and it's when Tai Chi sang the, like, if we want to do something today, or if we want to do something someday, we'll end up growing adults before we even know it. And I don't know, I think it's a nice line. It's a poignant line that you put in a teaser. You're not sure how much it means in the actual show itself, but everyone here looking, like, when he's saying it, everyone's kind of looking up at the sky. And the thing that you think of is, like, the last time there was a big thing in the sky, I guess there was one in the first Chai movie, but I was thinking, like, maybe this is like at the Dark Masters arc where the digital world appears in the sky.
What about Parrotmon?
Yeah, I assumed it was they might be looking at a Digimon, although they seem a little calm for that.
They seem way too calm, but I guess that could be like the tone of just not having the music and everything.
What's everyone wearing again?
Summer clothes.
Awful things. Awful hat. Overalls.
This isn't right after the whatever happened in the last... It's not a scene from continuing from the last one.
No. Yeah, you're right. They do seem really calm. Kosho was wearing... The best thing I saw on Twitter was someone took the picture of Kosho. He's wearing blue overalls over a red shirt. And they took a picture of, like, a Hello Kitty outfit that was the same colors and same overalls. And
Why is he wearing overalls now? How did this happen?
I don't know.
Honestly, I think it actually is a weird Japanese fashion thing and not a bad fashion thing. I think he really is actually trying.
No! Stop.
Okay, so there's that. Yeah, they all seem happy after that.
Eggs.
Like, oh my god, danger.
Eggs.
Are those eggs?
There's eggs. Look in the background. There's an egg.
There's one egg. There's
growing up means having eggs.
You just poop out eggs.
Okay, next thing I want to talk about here, right after that title card, there's Maki in a boardroom. So this, the actual voiceover during this is, there are a couple of different scenes with, what is the voiceover? It's Yamato talking for a while, and then a bunch of disconnected scenes. So the scene is kind of unconnected to the voice that is over it, but I like how Yamaki's in a boardroom. I'm hoping that we see something of Maki, you know, talking to her superiors.
You just said Yamaki, and I was really confused.
Maki and Yamaki and...
Oh
Yamato.
My gosh, she is Yamaki. Oh my gosh, you guys.
I mean, there's Maki, Yamaki, Yamato, Yagami. They're all just...
No. Yamaki and Maki. That's just you removed it.
You know, she could be Riley and Yamaki's kid.
Yes.
That's probably what they're going for.
I still think she looks like Masaru from Savers.
I still disagree. I mean, there were a couple shots, in, like, especially in the early stuff, where we were like, who is this random new character that did seem similar? But now that we've seen enough of her, I disagree.
Remember when everyone thought she was Ken?
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And next thing I want to talk about was Joe smiling.
Joe's... No, I don't like it.
We haven't seen much of Joe smiling up until now, have we?
He looks real
fake. We have
not.
That's a fake smile.
Look at his eyelashes.
Yeah, that's why it's a fake smile.
It's just all
thanks,
fake.
Joe. This is how you trick grown-ups into thinking you're cool.
What? You mean like Joe is tricking people, or the show is, the Digimon is tricking people?
No, I think Joe is probably talking insincerely to people and trying to get grown-ups to do what the G-Destined want them to do.
This scene, I don't know, this scene probably totally inconsequential, because I mean, there are Digimon in the background in
a
screen.
Yeah, I see them.
So, yeah, we'll see. So the next thing I want to talk about was just the general voiceover. There's no, like, shot or anything for this, but we've been hearing it the past couple seconds, which is Yamato talking over. And by the way, we'll have a link to the PV in the show notes. I think at this point it's still not available, like the official trailer is uploaded by the Toei YouTube account. It's still region locked to Japan. And so it's I think you can view it from Japan, but not anywhere else. So there are a couple of different mirrors. And we'll have links to those. But we also have a link to a translation by Onkei-kun, who does a lot of Digimon translation stuff, and it's really great. And so Yeah, so Yamato, what he's saying here, translated, is if we get more people who can evolve to Ultimate easily, we won't have to rely on Omegamon anymore. Maybe it'll be easier on you too, I presume talking to Taichi. And that's logical. I hadn't really considered the, I guess, the strain of the fact that Yamato and Taichi are the ones who, throughout their Dark Masters arc, are the ones who have to do all the fighting.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I feel like it's a misunderstanding what Taichi's struggle was in the first movie. You know, it wasn't about him like being weary. It was like about whether what they're doing is causing more collateral damage than is good, that is necessary.
I think spreading the blame might also help Tai a little bit.
It'll help you, Taichi, if everyone else is culpable instead.
Yeah, it'll be great. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I feel like he was like, you are all culpable. And they were like, no.
Well, maybe they'll come to, maybe they will come to understand his position.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just more a stem of like Yamato doesn't understand anything about Taichi.
I mean, that could be it too.
But it is cute to see him. Like, he just like, the words just sound like a caring romantic partner who's like, maybe it'll be easier on you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he'll be gentle.
Oh, Ash, you didn't need to go in that direction.
No, he did.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
One of our listeners linked me some Taito art on Tumblr. Ooh. I was like, oh, that's okay. Thank you.
Wait.
It's odd. Okay. Like, people don't normally message me on Tumblr.
Mm.
Interesting. They know what you want, Ash.
It is not a good way to contact me. I'm not usually online on it.
Okay, getting back into the PB. Okay, so here.
Patamon's butt.
Patamon's infected butt.
Only his butt is infected.
No. I couldn't take it seriously.
I mean, I'm like half joking by like writing this in our outline as like Patamon's butt. But like the first thing we saw of chapter 3 in the PV for chapter 2 was Patamon's butt, because it was like showing him from behind flying away from the camera. So like, yeah, they really like focusing on Patamon's butt in these things. And
I can't take anything seriously with this.
Patamon's butt. And then in a couple seconds after that, there's Patamon's talk about being infected. I thought, okay, so I'm going to play another second or two so we can see the... So just like, what is Patamon saying here? Let me look up the translation. Patamon's saying, hey, Takaru, I'm infected, right? And just like, listen to like the voice. It's just so it's peppy, so, and cheerful, and the face is so happy. It's like... It's just like, it's almost creepy. It's almost borderline creepy. Like, I'm infected,
creepy,
right? I'm going to murder everyone, right?
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he could murder Takaru right now.
Yeah.
He looks like, I'm about to eat your face.
It makes me wonder if the infection is actually a good thing. Like, what is this infection?
Yeah, I did kind of have those thoughts at the second movie that I don't think I got to articulate on the podcast, because it's like the one that's infected is then murdered by this other kind of thing that seems more evil than the infection, maybe. And so, but
it is creepy.
I wonder if that's intentional in this piece, like if they meant for us to take it creepily, or if they're just like, that's the only line we have of, like, maybe in context, it's just totally clear this is not creepy. And
or maybe it's creepy.
I want it to be creepy.
I went Takaru, because it looks like he's sitting on Takaru's lap or something. There's like skin around
there. Yeah, he appears to be. Yeah, those are his legs. Arms.
Oh, those are arms.
Yeah. He's
hugging him.
Or he's standing on top of Takaru trying to murder him.
I mean, that's why I'm like, he's going to leap at Takaru's face and just destroy it.
No, right? I want Takaru to just like, after hearing those lines, just like throw him away and like throw him off a building or something.
Yeah, because Takaru will do that.
Yeah, he'll be like, I see Devimon in you. Let me just punch you in the face over and over.
Actually, what if this is a dream sequence? And then TK freaks out.
That's also plausible. I see that.
Sounds like our fan fiction experiment.
Yep. I keep meaning to write more of that, and I just don't.
Well, it's like, I wanted it not just to be us.
Yeah. So,
what Ashley and Asher are referring to is, in our Slack chat for patrons, we have a channel that's a fanfic experiment where it's like, each person writes, is it a paragraph or a sentence?
It's a paragraph.
And it's like you communally add a paragraph at a time.
Yes. It's mostly been us, though.
become a Patreon and join our fanfic experiment.
Asher, write the next paragraph.
You made it all sad and stuff, and like...
Oh, where did you think I was
going? And I was like, I want Kari to protect herself with Ken. I want Kari to protect Ken.
Oh, well, you can make that happen.
Yeah, I guess. But we're in Takaru's point of view, anyway.
Okay, so the next shot is Maki and Daigo debating. And so the line from translation is Daigo saying... How could you lie to the children like that? And Himekawa, Maki, replying, would it have been better if I had been honest about everything?
Yes. Probably.
Did you not learn that honesty is the best policy?
Generally, yes.
I like this debate because it shows that Daigo's like, they are not just being evil for evil's sake, right? Like, they're on their side. Both of them seem to be on their side. Daigo is defending the kids. Maki has some things up her sleeve that are hopefully going to be revealed as part of this. I guess it's possible that it's just like, oh yeah, I have secrets, and let's just talk abstractly about the secrets and not actually say what they are. I guess that's possible. I don't know. I'm just intrigued by this.
And then it became civil war.
Yeah. Okay, this scene.
This scene's the best.
So in case you can't tell from the audio or anything, this is the scene where it starts with Taichi, Sora, and Yamato on one side of a hall, like in school, and they're like on the right side of the hallway, and they walk into Mimi and Mako on the other side, and I mean, first of all, just layout wise, like Sora just like seems to be like walking between Taichi and Yamato, kind of like having both boys on both sides of her shoulders, kind of like my crew,
my boys, my boy toys.
And I'm gonna play the dialogue in Japanese and then I'll translate it. So what's going on is Taichi says, because he's a contrarian, and then Mimi points at Yamato and screams, Sundere, Sundere.
It sounds like Sundara.
Yeah, that doesn't kind of like Sundere.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about, so first of all, the term Sundere comes from two onomatopoeias. It comes from Sun Sun and Dere Dere. So I think it might be a natural, like a variant or inflection of Sundara to, maybe Darad. Wait, let me look up Darad. I'm trusting the translation, which translated, Onkei Kun's translation translated as Sundara. But I mean, Sundara or Sundara doesn't mean anything either, so.
Well, she also just came back from America.
Maybe this is the American variant of Sundara.
No, it's Mimi being Mimi and being Mimi.
Like she's just making her own variant?
Yeah. She's trying to make it sound cute.
Yeah, I mean, okay, first of all, there's just the idea of like Mimi shouting at Yamato and calling him Sundara is great. I guess there might be some people listening who don't know what Sundara is. I guess it's possible. It is a character archetype in lots of anime and Japanese things like anime.
Well, it can also be applied to other things.
Sure, but I mean, like, most of the ways that American consumers see it, or English-speaking consumers see it, is from things like anime, and I guess it's probably in other cultural contexts in Japan, but it comes from two different onomatopoeias. I think it's most literally translated as, like, hot and cold, but basically just means someone who is, like, really sweet and, like, accepting on the inside and kind of brash on the outside.
That's not totally it.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to explain this. Can you explain it better?
Then why did you start?
Basically, they're mean on the outside and...
Yeah.
They're mean on the outside to cover up how, like, disgustingly naive and sweet they are on the inside.
How much
they want people to like them.
Mm.
It's like... The stereotypical line is, I'm not doing this because I like you or anything, stupid. that's what being a tsundere is.
Mm-hmm.
Just go read Maid-sama. There's a whole chapter on tsundere. I'm looking at a list, and I'm so happy that one of the top tsundere characters that this is Kyo Soma.
Yes. Generally, tsundere are girls, but
Kyo is totally is
absolutely yes.
Kyo from what?
Fruits basket.
Oh, well, yeah.
So that is something I want to mention. That normally it's an archetype of women, and I guess most often in harem settings where it's like you have six different character archetypes, and there's like the tsundere girl, the yandere girl, the blah blah girl, and then it's kind of gross in that aspect. But it seems like Chai is on the road to like take these archetypes that are normally applied to objectify women in a gross way and apply them to guys in a way that...
Well, I think it's not a Chai thing. I think it's a culture spread thing.
Mm.
And Mimi being Mimi.
Yeah, Mimi is the kind of character who I feel like would refer to other people as Sundara. Yeah.
No, but the thing about Mimi in this one shot, she's pointing her finger. You're really not supposed to be doing that.
In Japanese culture?
I believe so.
Hmm. I mean, it's rude in American culture, too.
Yeah, you're not supposed to point at people, generally. It's just a thing.
I mean, but I feel like it would be normal within a friend group of, like, if you're already friends with people.
No, but even then, it's just like, this is something a five-year-old does.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, in a group of American friends, if you're friends with people, like, pointing people is not considered rude at all. But I would suspect that in Japanese culture, even if you are friends with people, it would be a kind of rude or unaccepted thing to do normally. But the other thing that I saw people, it's not something that immediately occurred to me, but I saw a couple of people on Twitter mention it, that this is the first time that Mimi and Yamato have interacted in all of Adventure 02 Try. So I'm like, can that really be the case?
No, really? Maybe.
I mean, there are. I did this counting when we were in 02, I think. But like, if you have 8 Digidestined, 8 chosen children, and like, just the number of interactions among those, like, two, you take 2 characters and like have they interacted, there are 28 different interactions. So like, that's 28 different relationships to have. And it totally makes sense that something that just never happened. But like, this one, I could have sworn that like Mimato was like a pretty common ship too. Like,
yes, it is. It's one of the big ones. Back in the old days, it was Tai and Sora and Mimi and Matt.
It was.
You know, now I'm trying to remember if they've ever spoken, like, just the two of them. And I don't recall any interactions either. I think he's, like, made snide comments about her in her earshot. Like, you know, whenever she says a dumb dub thing.
Mm.
Oh, he also stood up for her that one time when she wanted to
like
quit.
Yeah, like when...
But,
yeah.
Like, he didn't talk to her directly.
He talked to Tai about her.
Oh, that... For me, that really sinks that ship. They didn't even talk.
Oh, I guess there was a dub thing. Again, this is just a dub thing. It's not canonical Japanese version, but there was the whole thing about, I forget, it was like some scene. I think it was like Davis had to come run to get Matt to do something. And he was like, oh, I'm on the phone with Mimi in America.
Yeah.
So
that totally doesn't count.
I wonder if they threw that in there in the dub to be like, oh, it's a common ship in Japanese, but also skeptical that for the dub writing, they cared about those details. Oh yeah. So this next part, a couple seconds later, there's Koshiro talking about stuff. There's all the Digimon pressed up against the wall of the digital space, which I'm like, pause on it. It's pretty funny. Like, Gatomon's face. It's just...
Palmon looks... Some of them look upset.
Palmon's like, why are we here? Yeah. I mean, I guess there were details revealed in the plot summary, which I guess we're not talking about explicitly, because it is, I think, more spoiler than this. But the plot summary did mention what is going on with them, why they're in there. So if you want to look up that, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Tentomon was looking directly into the viewer's soul.
I mean, his eyes don't
you
have
never
a focus
tell where
point.
He's looking. Yeah. Like, yeah.
They kind of look everywhere.
He's looking directly into
he's
my
looking
soul.
Everywhere at once, because that's how compound eyes work.
Oh, compound eyes. La-di-da.
I'm just saying.
Is that a term? I didn't know that was a term. Ah!
Really?
Ah! Did anyone else see that, what I looked at?
I don't want.
No. Yes.
I googled compound eyes, and I was like, ah, they're scary.
You don't like bugs, do you?
No.
Oh my gosh. Don't remind us how much we don't
actually,
like bugs.
Gatomon looks like what Gatomon pressed up against glass reminds me of is like Gatomon doesn't look fat normally, but up against glass he looks really fat. It reminds me of like how Pixel is like Pixel's not fat, but then like you like sitting down or whatever and you're like, oh, he looks really fat.
Yeah. So.
Pixel's our cat.
Wait, speaking of this scene, how come they're not just like phasing through the glass?
Yeah, it's not how the glass has ever worked before. I mean, they might explain it actually if there's like a barrier now or something, like they're not allowed to get out or something like that. That could make sense.
Digimon logic.
Matt's playing his harmonica because that's what Matt does. Is this even a new scene?
And he looks exactly like TK and it's terrible.
And he's wearing green.
He can't wear green, yeah. Except that was his color.
Actually, I think Taku, like this point where we're pausing, which is around 57 seconds, like while Yamato's on the harmonica and stuff, like I think it's supposed to be, according to Onkaneko's interpretation, it's, is that right? Is that the part? Like, it's supposed to be Takeru talking over it, but I was like, this voice is deeper than I remember Takeru's voice being. It might just be because I didn't internalize his voice much from the first two movies. And then there's this scene of Greymon jumping up and attacking, look, I mean, unless they cut it really deceptively, it looks like Greymon is attacking Meikumon. But while that's going on, there's his voice that it's not clear who the voice is. I'm going to play it again.
Ikase him! 絶対に行かせへんで!
So while that voice is going on, there's the reveal of the pan up of Meikumon's evolution. But the voice, it's not clear who it is. And what are they saying in Japanese? What are they saying in translation? They're saying, I won't let you through. I'll never let you through. So yeah, I feel like it's kind of awkward to put that voice right over, like right when Greymon appears. Cause you're like, my first thought was like, okay, it's Greymon.
Yeah, that was.
Like without knowing the translation, isn't that what you thought?
I still think
Greymon. It could be Greymon.
Yeah,
like
he's protecting them against this infection thing.
That's a good point. I was thinking it was like someone who was like not letting the good guys pass. But yeah, I guess it could be Greymon saying I'm not letting Meikumon pass.
I mean, it could be somebody else, but like I don't think there's enough evidence to prove to me that it's like definitively not Greymon.
So. Yeah, now that you mentioned now, I think it'd be really deceptive for it to be a different voice. And just like put that over Greymon in the context of Greymon saying it would make sense. And I guess this is what trailers do sometimes, but trailers be trailing. Any thoughts about the Meikumon evolution?
What gender is it?
It's got boobs.
Wow, I did not notice that, but it kind of does.
Gomamon has boobs too, though.
No, that was just that one shot.
Well, this is only one shot too, but pretty sure those are boobs. Because she's not pressed up against anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, it looks actually pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll have, I think it's pretty easy to make to just stitch these together and make the full pan, like the full vertical shot. And it looks pretty cool. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Let's say, gather that.
It looks like a weird mash of things that they were like, I'm running out of Digimon designs. Okay, here you go, guys.
I think that's a little inferring too much. I feel like Meikumon at that form already was like too much for being a rookie slash even for being a champion.
Yeah. And this is like an okay stretching out of Meikumon.
Right.
Well, I mean, between the two shots, there's different things going on there.
Sure,
on
sure.
Meikumon.
But I guess also, like, revising what I said, I think Meikumon was too much to be a rookie, but then once Meikumon was a champion, I was like, okay, that's actually, it's still really dense because she's small, but, like, I almost buy this now more as a champion.
No, go back to the previous shot where it's on the building. That's definitely...
That's the champion, right?
No, it's not.
No, that's the ultimate.
Oh.
Because Meikumon is the champion.
This was just Meikumon. I thought this was just Meikumon on the building.
Like, no.
It's not.
Wait, you think it's like Meikumon, but like alternate form Meikumon? Because that's not what Meikumon looks like.
Just a little bit riled up. I guess they're...
It's bigger.
Well, what happened to her at the end of last one? What did she look like then?
It became that.
That.
Which I assume wasn't Digivolution. That was just like...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a Digivolution.
I thought it was just like, you know, like the fur getting riled up and like making the mane kind of thing expand. And like, I mean, it still has the same, like, this the same bandana thingy.
Although, like, this size is really ambiguous because it could be an ultimate. Like, Antilamon's about that size.
That doesn't look that's like, I guess that is a lot bigger than, like, it looks like it's about the same size as a story of this building that they're on, which is much bigger than Meikumon ever was.
No, it's much larger than Meikumon. That's why I'm like, are you saying that Meikumon, like, just morphed into a totally different form and is, like, not a Digivolution?
I wouldn't be surprised if this, the scale that it's portraying as being next to, like, this glass window that it's about the size of half of a story or whatever. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's, like, totally accidental. I don't mean to imply that's the right size. I mean, there are lots of scale things that are wrong.
No, but even at the end of last one, it was like, okay, clearly got bigger.
Well, it's the virus, so who knows?
Right, I feel like it's a bigger stretch to imply that there was an evolution or digivolution that happened when at the end of the movie, then it just got bigger.
It's definitely like a different mode or whatever. Mm.
I mean, I'll buy this different mode thing, but it's just not straight up Meikumon. Like, let me tell you something here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the variant from the end of the last movie. It definitely is that. But anyway, okay, the next thing is a bombshell. It's going to change everything. Wait, are you guys ready? Are you sitting down? Are you ready? Like, are you strapped in? Like, hands grabbing onto something? It's stuck. What do you say when the plane's about to crash? Like, grab onto something?
You don't say grab onto something pleasant.
No, that's not what I meant. Grab onto something doesn't move. Grab onto...
stationary?
Yeah, grab onto something stationary.
That's not a thing they say.
Yeah, no, that's like grab onto like pens and papers.
They say brace yourself for impact.
Brace yourself for impact. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Oh my God, it's Ken's D3! Oh my God!
Wow. How is that bigger than the reveal that Ken is the Digimon Kaiser?
Wait, I mean, it's not, like, what, huh? What does that have to do with Ken being Digimon Kaiser reveal? You mean from 02?
Like, this is not, no, like, he was in previous trailers. Like, that is much bigger than his Digivice being there.
Yeah, this is not a huge surprise.
I don't think it's a big deal. I think this could just be the shot of the Digivice and the D-Terminal could just be things that Maki has in her office. Like, you know, I reclaimed these after the other kids were lost or something. It could be something that's like not even implying they are talked about a lot. But the reaction I've seen from the Digimon community is like, this is huge. This means they're going to be talking about this. Means that the 02 kids are going to be front and center again. Like, it's going to be like directly addressed and all this stuff. And I guess I've just been burned too many times because like... I feel like having showing Ken, I guess I can't remember. I don't think Ken was actually shown in the PVs for chapter two.
He was.
It was his silhouette.
Sorry. We had the whole discussion about like the Digimon Trizer and like the, it wasn't really clear. It looked like it was something that looked like the Kaiser, but maybe it wasn't Ken.
People were like, it looked like Ty.
Right. There was all that. And I feel like that was a much bigger deal because that made it seem like Ken and the 02 kids would be addressed much more than this shot of the Digivice. I guess it is very similar to the shot of Tai Chi's Digivice for the first PV and stuff. So many people are assuming like they're drawing a direct connection to that. But I don't really trust them to. I mean, maybe I just burned too much. Andrew, you're the one who is most upset about the 02 kids. What do you think about this?
There's like nothing to like say. I mean, who knows? I mean,
I thought you'd be excited.
I'm not taking chances this time.
This is what we learned. Don't have expectations. Lesson of Podigious.
No, it's just if it wasn't this close of a shot, I'd have more theories, but it's too close. I can't see anything around it.
I think I've also seen people complaining that it looks like an immediate reaction, that it just looks bad. And I kind of agree. I think the perspective is totally off. It's like some of the lines go in one direction, other lines go in a different direction. And the like, then the screen isn't angled right. And it's just like, I don't mind the updated design, but I think the
screen should be bigger.
It's like very poor shot. Let me tell you.
I don't think it's just the screen is too small. It's that it's like, makes it look like the whole thing is skewed to the left, which it isn't otherwise. Because I don't think the screen was ever angled like that. Like, I don't think it was ever a parallelogram. I think it was a square, like, it was a perfectly square screen. And the fact that it looks like a parallelogram in this implies that the whole thing is slanted to the left, which the other lines don't agree with. So...
But yeah, it's just, I'd be more excited about the shot if it wasn't this close.
If you saw, like, other context, what was going on around it?
Yeah, because we literally have no idea what's going on in the shot. It could be anywhere.
I'm trying to remember the Digivice from the first, like the Tai Chi Digivice they showed in the original PVs and stuff.
It was on his desk.
Right, but like what that was, the way that was used was to be like, Tai Chi's waking up. Maybe this will start with Ken waking up. Wouldn't that would be amazing if that was the first couple minutes of the movie.
But Ken is awake, allegedly.
I don't mean like waking up from a coma. I mean like waking up on his daily routine. I do want to make a, you know, illustration of why these lines are all wrong. Like the perspective, like this is like, looks like someone who, it's very detailed and looks very nice, except they didn't know how to use perspective. With my next note. Angie, you want to talk about like the Maki face before this?
Because it's connected to the scene.
You think that she's like reacting to, do you think she's reacting to Greymon and Makemon?
Yeah.
But I mean, connected in a teaser like this could mean anything. It could mean it's not connected at all.
It's all a lie.
It could be like a gust. Like it's like clearly, it looks like they're implying that the impact of the attack is what's making Maki's hair blow in the wind. Right? Let me play it. Yeah, but that could just be like, it's a breezy day. Let's like look outside. It's a breezy day. I'm gonna hold my hair because it's blowing away. Oh no! Like, I mean, it. I don't know.
Well, at least it's not as misleading as the Digimon the movie trailer. Actually, back on the Digivice. Mm-hmm. If you notice, there's a glare.
Yeah.
So
there has to be a sun.
Sun.
I mean, okay. So there has. I guess the point, like, it doesn't mean that it's just stranded in the digital world or wherever Ken was attacked. Like, I mean, we did actually see, like, my thing about like, oh, it could be Maki has it requisitioned and like maybe they left it behind before they left and went away. But like, we did, the last time we saw the 02 kids, we actually saw the Ken Z3 flying in front of the camera when they're being attacked in whatever Nega space. So I don't know. Everything seems intentional. Everything that I try seems like the things that are intentional are not intentional. So yeah.
I love how whacked out the buttons are on the right.
Everything's just like
D-pad.
The D-pad is just like totally off kilter. It's like there's no access to the buttons. Like one button's just like one, the D-pad thing is like hanging down. It looks like that picture of, was it Jerry that we got that was like their face was just, no, it was Susie. I'm going to paste it in the Slack. I think it was from when we recorded 308. The one where it's like, it looks like someone just like rotated her eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I'm going to play again. Okay, so Sora and Mako are chatting. And I like the friendship. No, you don't like a friendship?
I don't like that you have anything to say about this.
I mean, so Sora, what Sora's saying here is we and our Digimon partners are special. We're always connected to each other, no matter what happens. And Mako just doesn't say anything in response. And then Sora says, that's what I believe. And I think, I mean, the clear signal from this is there's going to be some fallout to... It seems like the kids are trusting. They're not like they don't think Mako is behind it all. They don't think she's evil too, and I think she is as hurt by this betrayal as everyone else is. So it's nice that they're supporting her, and I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic of like someone who actually has their not just like lost her Digimon, but seems like I mean I guess the implication wasn't like Mekumon was evil, was just infected, and that was what made them do bad things. But so I guess we have seen this before with like Tai Chi lost Agumon right in 02 for a bit. Was there anyone else? I guess Takaru's lost. TK lost Patamon.
For like an episode.
Ken lost Wormmon for a while.
That was an episode.
Was it? I think it was longer than that.
I think he was off-screen for a couple episodes.
He was off-screen for a while.
Yeah. I think we saw him like sleeping one episode, maybe.
But back on the scene, like, I want to cut Sora's hair for some reason. Like, I don't know why they made the back part so dark.
It does look weird now that you pointed it out.
I mean, I've been bothered by that this whole time.
Like this whole try or the whole...
Since episode one.
Huh.
No, but like if you totally get rid of it, she looks like... She kind of looks like Rin from Love Live. Mm. And she does have an outfit like that.
And it's kind of just a generic school uniform.
Yeah, the tie is different, of course.
Sorry, going back to kids who lost their Digimon in some way. I mean, Agumon went to Skull Greymon a couple times. That might be more comparable to the situation. Mm.
Well, what I was thinking is when, like, Ken captures Agumon and they have to go get him back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then turns him into Skull Greymon as part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because it used the Dark Ring instead of a Dark Spiral.
Oh, right. So he did Skull Greymon once and then did Dark Spiral and then Metal Greymon, right? That was it all.
Yeah,
because he forced Agumon to Digivolve, but it only works properly with the Dark Spiral, apparently.
So yeah, I guess it's not uncharted territory, but I'm still intrigued to see where it goes.
I'm actually way more interested in how the Digimon partners react to Patamon being infected than how the children react.
Hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, and there was a shot of them. It seemed like they were talking under the bridge with like just the Digimon Council.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is intriguing. Because I feel like we see the kids have plenty of arguments where like they get mad at each other and they have like little complaints, they get on each other's nerves and everything. But like the Digimon, I feel like they're all just like, they have to be happy together. We never get like Tentomon's mad at Palmon and like then they resolve their differences. It's like they don't have time to develop those relationships. So it's just like they either have to get along or just not be shown having relationships. So I kind of suspect they'll just be like, Patamon, we accept you and we hope nothing goes wrong. That's what I suspect it's going to be, but...
I just feel like we see them rarely talking to each other without the humans around, even.
And
or,
I mean,
like, not just directly to the humans.
Yeah, Gabumon never had a problem with Agumon, but as soon as Matt was like, I'm not okay with Tai, he was like, all right, I'll do this for you.
Which is a real shame of potential in terms of, like, one of the main strengths of Digimon over Pokemon as an anime is that, like, the Digimon talk. And yet, once you have 14 or 16 characters, like, you can't actually have them all talking to each other, so it's like they only just talk to the humans, and then it's almost like they're not, I don't know. The way in which they talk to the humans is more like demons than it is like characters who interact with the people on their own. I guess in Tamers, mm-hmm. they do have lots of interaction. The Digimon have interactions with each other.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, and here's the thing, which I missed the first time I watched the trailer. I saw people reacting to it, and I was like, what are you talking about? But yeah, there's a shot of all the kids standing around.
A computer.
Actually, wait, it's only 8 kids. There's no Mako, I guess.
Hmm. There's a space for her to walk in.
It's true. It is awkwardly.
Maybe she's the green glowing thing.
So it's them all standing around in a circle in a plaza, and Koshiro has his laptop out in front of him, and it looks like they are holding their devices forward, and there's like a big blinding light, and all signs indicate that they are opening a gate to the digital world. So,
or doing like purifying shenanigans.
Yeah, it's true. There is something that's like glowing like next to his laptop, like you were saying. It's like that could be Patamon's data being purified.
Does that mean that might be an egg?
Don't say egg again, Andrew.
Really obsessed.
Egg.
Those squares that they're like, those little like black squares in the plaza ground, those are eggs.
No, they're standing on top of an egg.
The world is an egg?
The plaza is an egg.
But yeah, that would be like the biggest, I think that would be a huge outrage. If they don't go to the digital world as part of this, like, and it's just like they're purifying something, like, I think the fans would revolt.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe just you.
I don't care. No, I'm talking about what I've seen from, like, I've seen people react to this trailer like, oh my God, this trailer is huge. They're going to the digital world, like, this is going to be amazing. And another thing I want to just comment on that is that, like, given what we saw of what they revealed in the second trailer, what I assume this means, if they're going to the digital world, if they're opening a gate to the digital world, that this means that's what they're going to do at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I think Andrew, was a theory you mentioned in like the second try episode that like you think that the first three episodes are going to be like one half and the second three episodes are going to be another half. And so I think it makes a lot of sense.
It definitely feels like they're heading towards some kind of climax.
That makes sense.
Like, definitely, I feel like the first half, so episodes 1 through 3, will be like a Makumon arc slash no, but like, remember how like it's split up into like 4 episodes each so far? Like, time wise, this is equivalent to the Myosmon arc.
The 3 movies, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the same time length as the Myosmon arc so far. So like, and Digimon has the tendency to have like arcs with villains and so forth, so maybe it's gonna be like that. But like, it'll be more overarching, but this is like if you pretend that like Devimon was like the first boss, I guess, and then he has like a superior or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
I mean, I see what you mean. It's like, this could be like the first arc, like Makumon could be the first arc villain, and then they go to, you know, whatever caused the infection. I think that's a plausible theory, but I just think like the movie format of Try is so unprecedented that like it wouldn't shock me if they use a similar kind of length for that kind of formula. It would also not shock me if they, you know, threw that out and it was like, you know, saving Makumon or fighting Makumon was the entire six part thing.
Honestly, I think people would revolt if it was like that, because it's like, this is over like 3-4 years if at the rate they're going.
Yeah, and like, people don't care about Makumon that much. Like, they care about the other characters. So if it's like all about, if the whole arc of the movie is about saving Makumon, it's like, that's not what people have the attachment to.
It would only be 2 years at the rate they're going. Throwing their out.
It'd be a little over 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be 2 years, but it could go past 3, I guess.
Right. Actually, the rate they're going, like, the rate they did the first two, if they did that rate, it would be 2 years. If they continued the rate of, it took them 6 months, if they're doing 6 months to do part 3, if they do 6 months for each episode after that, it'll be closer to 3 years.
Sure, but they did release 3 movies within 1 year.
Right.
Is what is going to happen right now.
Sure, but if the next one's 6 months after that, then it'll really have been like
a year and a half.
A year and a half for 4, which a year and a half.
It would not quite have been a year and a half. It would be a year and 4 months,
I suppose. Anyway, that's all irrelevant.
But basically, it is a long time for a project like this.
Yeah, and
it doesn't help that we don't have, like, it's not an adaptation of any pre-existing work, so it's even worse.
I think it would be not, like, maybe I'm getting my hopes up too much, but I feel like if the 0-2 kids become more of a part of the second part, like, just time-wise, I think it would make a lot of sense to be, like, for a try as a ongoing project to start off being totally focused on the Adventure Kids. And then once people are like, yeah, we're so excited about the Adventure Kids, to then be like, and the 0-2 kids are in it too, like, and to, you know, kind of bank on that nostalgia too. I think there's a perception, because a lot of people looking back on it as they're older hate 0-2. There's a perception that I think everyone hates 0-2. And
false.
Right. I'm saying that I think it's false. I think that, especially in America, I don't know what it was like in Japan, but America, it was like, I think it was the height of, I think it peaked in 0-2. And that even if people look back on it, like, we don't like it now, I think there's a lot of nostalgia for those characters and everything. So I think it'd be smart for them to, you know, once we've gotten 3 movies with this cast, to bring in the 0-2 kids too. The fact that Mako wasn't there is honestly the most concerning thing to me, because maybe they realize that she doesn't exist and like, there's all a figment of their imagination, and now they're moving on to 0-2 kids. Maybe she is a mixture of maybe like the 0-2 kids like made her as a combination of all their personalities and like sent her to the real world to like save them.
In what way is she a combination of any of their personalities?
Maybe not a combination of their personalities, but like they all dreamed her up together. And
I find this incredibly suspect.
I do too. I'm just throwing it out there. But yeah, that was the last point of the trailer I went to pause on. The rest of it, I think, is just they say, you can show, they say, let's go. And then it's just the title screen and everything else and the information on when it's airing and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's probably the reason why people think they're gonna go to the digital world at the end.
Oh yeah. It would be extremely deceptive. Show a sequence of them purifying something and saying, "Let's go." Like that would be I almost welcome that level of deception just because, like, how much drama that would cause in the fan community. Like, that would almost be funny to watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff's mean.
Mm-hmm. I'm so mean. So now we've talked about the PV, talked about a lot of different parts of it. I just want to go around and each mention the thing that overall our thoughts of it, what has left us the most excited, if there's anything about it that is making us excited for the movie. Asher, do you want to start?
I don't really want to see this at all. Like, I'm not into conflict. I'm not into, like, stupid angsty conflict that, like, nothing can solve. Like, Padamon is infected. Oh no, what can they do? Nothing. I'm not into that. I'm not into pain for the sake of pain. So, you know, I'm gonna watch it because that's what I do, but I'm not, you know, hype.
Andrew, what do you think?
I think I'm gonna be sad because there won't be as much slice of life stuff. Other than that, it looks fine, but not too great, I guess.
So it's not making you excited?
No, it's making me more excited than the other two, I guess. Because it feels more like a Digimon conflict. Because, like, the first two felt like setting up, and then it was mostly slice of life stuff, which I really enjoyed, actually. But now we're going back to Fate of the Digital World stuff. Finally, actually.
Ashley, what are you most excited about?
Mimi calling Matt Sundere. Digimon talking to each other. Screw humans. Humans suck.
Mimi calling Yamato a Sundere reminds me a lot of was it in the second PV for the second movie where Kabedon? Is that what it's called? The Yamato putting his arm in front of Taichi, and how that was, like, hyped up. I was like, oh my god, it's finally happening, and it was, like, such a minor part of the movie.
I mean, it's totally gonna be a minor part of the movie. I don't care.
That's almost, like, what I've enjoyed the most about Try in the past two movies has been, like, those really minor moments that, like, have not been anything in the scene of it, but have just been, like, this is mostly about the second movie. It was, like, there were just so many scenes in the second movie or shots that were just, like, great, funny moments that don't mean anything to the whole thing, but are fun.
At least they're in it.
But I am excited for plot.
Save a plot.
Yeah. Plot must happen. The more movies that they release with less plot, the more plot must happen eventually.
I don't know about that. I feel like they could still have, like, a tiny bit of plot and then be like, oh, you waited
for it. Oh my gosh. If I come out of watching, if 2 years later, I am like, this was all so bad. It's just so bad.
What am I excited for? Yeah, I think I'm also excited for the Mimi calling Yamato Sundere and just that specific scene, but also the potential for more scenes like it, more of the humor like Chapter 2. But I also admit that it's very possible that they threw that one scene in the trailer because it was the one humorous scene like the bathhouse stuff, so, or the onsen stuff. So very possible I'll be very disappointed by that, but I...
Digimon Adventure Civil War?
No. That's a stretch. But yeah, it's one thing that really stands out to me as being super exciting. Because the other stuff that, everything that I would normally, if I saw this trailer without seeing the other Zero Two stuff, or without seeing the other Try trailers or movies, like the things, if I saw the other Try movies and not the PVs, and then saw this PV, I think I would be the most excited for the D3 stuff, the gate opening, that kind of stuff. And what I've learned from the past ones is that, like, I shouldn't be too excited about those. So, yeah.
It's true, you'd be excited about all the wrong things.
I mean, it's trained me to, like, have reasonable expectations. So in some sense, that's frustrates me because I'm
Digimon,
like...
Digimon Adventure, busting out the hard lessons.
So now I want to also go around, if there's anything that you are dreading the most. Ashley, are you dreading anything? I mean, you're dreading
conflict. I already talked about
He's dreading the whole thing.
Andrew, are you dreading anything?
More lack of Zero Two with no explanation.
I think mine's are similar. What I'm dreading the most is that they're going to... The hype that I've seen after this trailer, and maybe, you know, like, this was hype, like, in the hours after it was released. I haven't really checked much today. This was mostly last night. So, like, maybe people have cooled down, but, like, what I observe is there's more hype about this trailer than any other trailer. And that concerns me because I think they're going to pull similar stuff with the other movies where they if they reveal any of the stuff they've kind of promised in the show, it's going to be at the very end, and so it's going to be a teaser for the next movie, or it's not going to be important at all, and then people are going to be really upset. So I guess I'm kind of dreading that like people will not revolt, but will just be like mad and disappointed. On the other hand, like I mentioned before, I kind of enjoy watching that a little bit. So I like to see the Digiworld burn. Digi fandom burn? No. Anyway, Ashley, are you dreading anything?
I bet that shot of Ken's Digivice is literally the only thing that's there for Zero Two. It's going to be really funny.
So you enjoy it too a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so funny that this podcast is hilarious. The amount of hype that you put into this 3-minute thing that is so inconsequential and sets up your expectations so horribly. All hilarious.
It really is. I learned my lesson after the first two movies.
Yeah, I don't understand how Jeff hasn't learned his lesson after 2 years.
I think I've learned my lesson to not be
You have not.
Okay. So I get excited, and I get first of all, I think it was a pleasure to just being discussing it as before it comes out. I think there's a certain I feel like if we just talked about it when it came out, when the movies come out, it would be so spaced out so much that we would kind of and it would just feel so disconnected, and it's been months since we thought about any of this stuff, and what's going on now? I think there's certain value in just, being a part of the hype in a sense. But the things I was hyped for, especially when the first trailer came out that announced that it was going to be not a weekly series, it was going to be a movie series, the hype I went in before that was just totally different kinds of hype. It was I was making plans around it being a weekly series. I was planning about the podcast about it being a weekly series, all that kind of stuff that just now when I get hype, it's I'm not oh my God, this trailer is going to be amazing. This trailer was amazing. The movie's going to be amazing. That kind of stuff. It's more just that was fun. This is going to be fun. Let's talk about how it's going to be fun, hopefully.
I guess. I'm trying to compare it to my hype for
the Hunger Games
movies. Yeah. I'm trying to be the way that I participated in that hype and was so excited for it was not to speculate endlessly on what would be in the adaptation and what would not, and I hope this one specific scene will be in a movie.
I have an interesting short a little story about hype and trailers and stuff. So I had been hearing for a couple of years lots of hype about how good Arrow and The Flash were. Or I guess it wasn't last. It was I heard that Arrow was good, and then when The Flash started, it was The Flash is even better and stuff like that. And I think I started watching some of Arrow, and then I watched Legends of Tomorrow that just started coming out, which by all accounts now people consider terrible and supposed to be really, really bad. And when I saw a trailer for that, people were really hyped for it. And me not really, all I heard was Arrow was good, The Flash was great, and everyone just assumed this is going to be great too. I watched a trailer for it, not really knowing who all the different characters who were going to be in it were. And all those characters are set up in Arrow and Flash. And not knowing who those characters were, I just thought it was it looked so awesome. It looked so cool. It's going to involve time travel. And I was this is going to be amazing. This is going to be so great. This is villain, a superhero team up instead of just one superhero, whatever. Superhero team up. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. And then it came out. People said it was terrible. And then I haven't watched any of it, but I've watched the episodes of Arrow and Flash that set up those characters. And now I watched that trailer and I'm just this trailer looks terrible. Why did I think this is great? And I think it's just because I went in with expectations everyone says it's going to be good. And I watched the trailer and I was this is going to be great. I went in being knowing some more information and also knowing that people think it's bad. And I just had such different goggles and was this is so cheesy. I don't know what that says though. I think it's I'm easily biased by other people's impressions or expectations.
Yeah, I don't know. See, the way I got hype about The Hunger Games was I would watch those trailers over and over again, but I did not look up what other people were saying about them or how they paused and all the details. It was just I like the way that Jennifer Lawrence says a thing or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I do remember you and Miles having an argument about the how much she paused in a particular moment. It was something she was watching.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
It was something about in the first trailer when PETA confesses the thing.
Oh yeah, and it's she's watching it. How her face reacts.
Yeah,
to that.
I think this is good. And then I think Miles thought it wasn't good. And I was okay, whatever, Miles. But that's that was probably the most heated, actual discussion I ever had about that trailer.
I don't actually I don't like talking to other fans at all. except for role playing purposes, because then you're creating something and you don't. It's a very different interaction. Like, when you, that's less about, you know, having opinions and more about, oh, how can we do something that's fun for all of us? While with mass hype, I always feel like if I misstep, a mob is going to attack me. So I really do not enjoy that sort of thing at all.
Yeah, and I feel like in mass hype, there's always a need to, like, be on top of everything and, like, know all the things and then speculate harder. And I'm like, I just, no. Just, like... It's like, it like increases the anxiety rather than like the happiness that you're supposed to feel about it.
Well, you're supposed to have like necessary knowledge before you go into it. Like, you can't say something because it's like, oh, that's a theory that everyone's debunked years ago. Like, you can't bring that up and you'll be shamed as being stupid if you bring it up and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so like, I just normally am like, whatever. I just want to enjoy the Hunger Games in my own little strange vacuum and like read some books about it maybe and like write fan fiction. Sure.
You can find the full show notes for this episode with links to the PV, translation, and images of all the scenes we talked about by going to patages.com/013. If you have any thoughts about this episode, wish we talked about something more, or want to know our thoughts about anything else, you can always leave a comment on the episode page or email patages@gmail.com.
Patages is made possible with support from our awesome Patreon, including Amanda Angelman, Andre LeDucman, David Grauman, Eric Angerman, Joe Keto, Jack Santa Aguman, Kai Lunaman, Kaiser Washi, Sam Kriwagaman, and Stevie Padamon.
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. We're only $6 away from our next goal, which will allow us to get new podcast artwork commissioned more frequently, so check out patreon.com/poddigious.
You can find Poddigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and to get funny images and GIFs related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce gift, then become a Patchmon so you can vote on how we pronounce it. You cannot find me anymore, because I am tired.
And because you opened a gate to the digital world.
But Ash...
You can find me on Tumblr at asher-y.com. No. asher-y.tumblr.com.
Ashley.
AshMcD00 on Twitter.
And lastly, the person who made it this late in the first place, Jeff.
You can find me at...
Always Jeff.
Find me at Sundara Yamato at Twitter.
Oh my god, please make that your handle.
I am definitely Jeff on Twitter. Our Calamon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle, aka Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who are Sundara but totally deny it, and don't share it with your friends who have infected butts.
And join us in a couple of days for more Digimon news from the past, because this is awkwardly timed, because it wouldn't be Podigious if we weren't releasing episodes randomly and in crazy order. That makes no sense. And Tamer's be back. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving. General takeaway, if there's anything that, like, after watching this has left you excited or has left you dreading. And if there isn't anything, then you can just be like, nope, I'm not excited. Ashley, is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
I said Ashley.
Oh.
Sorry.
I did not know which one you said.
Yeah, it sounded like Ash.
I heard Ashley.
To myself, in my own head right now, I'm like, I definitely said Ashley. It was very clear. But when I listen back, I'm always like, what is he saying?
You are very hard to understand, and you need to slow down. We keep
it was like it was some combination of the two. Like I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Is that even, like linguistically possible to like mix sher and shli? Like,
yeah,
yes,
yeah, you did it.
Yeah. Those are very distinct sounds, though.
Sha,
asha, ashla, ashla.
I feel like you just. I don't know.
I feel like you just, it was not, there was barely a second syllable is the problem.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And it was like, well, that syllable could have been either of them. So.
Oh boy, okay. I really should get better at that after 2 years of saying your names on recording. Yeah. More than 2 years of just saying your names. Actually, Ashley and I just met when we started recording this.
Yeah, like we didn't know each other before.
Nope.
We're recording Batch IPVs again and forever. There will always be more tries.
Don't lie to the people, Jeff.
So the problem is that I haven't released the Wadakoji episode, which is 13. So, yeah.
No, I really want you to release this as episode 14 before episode 13. I think it'd be super funny.
It would be peak Pottages to release episode 14 before 13. And
then people will be like, you didn't have an episode 13. You'll be like, just wait.
I partially feel bad because it's like, that's the kind of thing that would be normal to do. Because it's like, people often skip skip number 13 for superstitious reasons. So then to be like, haha, superstitious reasons. Oh, wait, here's Wadakoji episode. It feels kind of disrespectful to be like, haha, superstitious joke. Oh, wait, here's Wadakoji. I don't know. Like,
Well, I think we shouldn't call attention to it. Like, it should just be like, that happened.
Try chapter 3. Oh, sorry. I just like blanked on how PV numbering works. What does PV stand for?
Promotional Preview? Video.
Oh. Try chapter 3, promotional video 1 reactions.
Promotional video?
You mean what? Porn video.
Yeah, that.
What?
It's porn video. No, it's not.
So I think PV is one of those things like OP and ED that the anime community just accepts and doesn't really think about what they stand for.
I didn't know what it was. I'm sure other people don't know what it is, too.
I'm pretty sure it's promotional video.
And I think preview or teaser are more fitting if you don't want to use the...
Cool. And Jeff Ruberg. I almost called you Jeff Softman. That would
have been
good.
No!
No!
That would make things so weird.
At least Jeff's not mean to me.
Oh.
Well, I'm meaner to Jeff than I am to you.
Oh, this is getting weird.
Jeff, become my brother so you can shift the focus away from me.
Jeffrey, people are going to be screaming because our team just won the basketballs.
Oh, is that what that noise is?
Yeah.
Are they coming from outside or inside the building?
I don't know where this is coming from.
Is that the Warriors?
Yeah.
Boo, Warriors.
Ooh. Our team has a chance to win the Hokies, too. It's very exciting.
Where does the Florida Panthers stand?
Well, now it's just down to the last two. So
Why does Florida even have a hockey team? Can someone explain this to me?
What do you mean, why do we have a hockey team?
We have two hockey teams, thought.
We've got the Panthers, and is there one in Tampa?
Yeah, you have the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
We have two teams.
Yeah.
But we're Florida.
Because we Florida, are the least Andrew,
wintery Florida, place ever.
Florida is full of people that moved from the north.
Yeah.
No, but it's so warm here.
A lot
here.
Of Why? Rich white people.
People, yeah. Explains a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, but that's a South Florida, right?
Tampa has its share, because Tampa's a pretty big city. But yes, mostly it's South Florida, where the old people go.
It's very detailed and looks very nice, except they didn't know how to use perspective.
Yes, can you please do classic 12th grade Jeffrey?
Okay.
This famous art piece is bullshit.
Oh, like, what was that even? Ugh, I think I found it on Facebook, because it was, like, the one, like, note I made in Facebook when Facebook notes were used. There was a thing, an art piece we looked at in European history, in 12th grade, AP European history, and it was, like, a picture of, like, a soccer field or something?
Yeah, it was a like soccer net. I don't know.
I think it was like about the like Industrial Revolution, but it was just like, I was like, the perspective is all wrong. And so I tried to ask this question that was like, was this before? Like, was there something about this? Like, they didn't learn the lessons from the Renaissance movements or something? Like the Renaissance movement. And the teacher was like, no. Here it is. Screw fourth period Euro, perspective my ass. I will share this picture in the show notes if you look at it. And I annotated it and was like, this is the line along which the right side of the obstacle should lie according to perspective set up by the closer goal. And then I said, Lowry put it so far to the right that it's not even in the painting. And then, so this was in 2007, December 5th, 2007. Ashley commented on it.
This is what I remember.
Ashley commented on it April 2nd, 2013. So 6 years later, and was like, angry note will always be here, being angry.
And it still is.
Wait, so this is the line along which the right side of the obstacle should lie according to... Oh, I see. So like, I drew a line.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you put that line there. Right.
But I thought it was an arrow pointing to something, but no, that is the line that the like goal is oriented towards, and then the goal is so far off that it's not even in the painting. Like, because like, I mean, but the thing is, everyone laughed about that being a ridiculous complaint, that I was just being nitpicky and stuff, but like...
No, it's true.
No, but like learning perspective was an important part of the artistic evolution over hundreds of years. So like it actually did, that was like, why did this one artist not care about perspective? Like that is, if you're looking at it from an art history perspective, like that is a valid question. That is a very important thing. I just don't think the teacher cared about art history. So he was like, whatever. I also don't care about art history, except when I can nitpick it about perspective. So. Ashley, are we ordering pizza?
It's Pixel.
No, are we ordering pizza?
Oh, I guess.
Pixel's ordering pizza?
I wish he was that useful.
I thought he was complaining that the cat made a weird noise.
No.
He's like climbing out of the
Pixel's what?
Pixel makes noises?
He was sleeping in my hockey bag.
Okay, it is a he. Never mind.
Okay, I was. I don't know. This may be too long of a tangent again, but like, I saw someone tweet about this and made me think about it. And it is really gross that like you like walking down the street, you run across a person with their dog, and like the first thing they ask is like, is it a he or she? Like, what you want to know is like, you want to know the dog's genitals so that you can use a pronoun for it.
You know that Asher dropped the call, right?
Oh yeah, was that on purpose?
I have no idea.
I had to call. He was talking just a second ago, wasn't he?
What Asher, happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys were talking about pizza, and then I asked Pixel's ordering a pizza, and that was the last thing I heard.
Oh, you know what it was? It was that you said Pixel's ordering pizza, and I said I wish, and then Skype must have been like, that's the ending of Digimon, so then they ended the call.
Oh,
obviously.
And then Andrew asked if Pixel was a he, and then I was saying that it is weird that like if you run across a dog in the street, that you basically, people ask what its genitals are so you can figure out a program pronoun to use. Like,
no, but I could have sworn I heard someone say she.
Actually, most people assume dogs are male.
Most people really? Most people assume your pets are male, and then like passive aggressively, you have to be like, no, she.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I feel like. I was like, I just almost wish the world were a place where all pets were just referred to as they. Because they don't have gender. Like, they have biological sex, right? They don't have gender, right? Like,
yeah.
And I guess they do have, like, some kind of gender social dynamic in the wild. But, like, that's totally different than how they act.
Do you want to call Star? I'll call Pixel they.
But then I was like, I kind of like...
Pixel, come here.
I kind of like thinking of Pixel as a boy. Like, thinking of him as a bro. We kind of call him a gamer bro and stuff. And... We make fun of him for, like, hating women on the internet and stuff, so, like...
No, but he loves women in real life. He likes them more than men.
Because he's sexist.
He is sexist.
He objectifies them. So I'm conflicted, because I'm like, I feel like we shouldn't do this, but I also enjoy the gendering of... I don't know.
No, but it's weird how you think about... Like, thinking about the gender of your pet affects how you interact with them. That's, like, totally gross.
Yeah, that's
so gross. Gender, it's gross.
Wait, Asher and Andrew, how much would you consider normal to buy, if you had to buy a pizza for two people for dinner, how much would you expect to pay for a pizza?
What kind of pizza place are we talking about?
Pizza prices vary widely. Are you looking at good pizza or sucky pizza?
I guess something like good cheap pizza. Like I guess I would consider it good pizza, but I feel like it's not, stuff I look at isn't any cheaper than other pizza.
Well, Ashley eats nothing, so I would order.
I mean, okay. Wait, no. We usually get like barbecue sauce and chicken and maybe broccoli.
What kind of place do you normally order from?
Asher, did you just black that?
You put barbecue Asher doesn't sauce like barbecue on your sauce. Pizza.
I'm sorry.
Honestly, that is kind of weird.
Asher was really offended every time I was really hype at school for the barbecue chicken pizza. He'd be like, this is gross. Like, why?
Ashley, is that what you're most excited for about Digimon Tri Chapter 3? Barbecue chicken pizza?
What? Sure.
Like, I don't know where this joke is going, but okay.
I don't know where this joke is going.
No, what kind of pizza place do you order from, usually?
I don't know how to classify that.
Is it, like, Pizza Hut?
No, it's not like Pizza or Domino's. It's, like, local place.
But is it, like, a nicer Italian, or is it just a place that serves pizza?
And do nice Italian places even deliver? You're just talking about delivery.
Okay, not like upscale nice, but like nicer than most places, I guess.
I don't know. My point is that, like, in the past, like, the pizza place we really like the pizza from there, and it's really big. It usually gives us dinner enough for, like, two nights, because it's, like, it's, like, really big, has lots of crust and stuff, but it ends up costing, like, $42 for a pizza.
For one pizza?
Yeah. Does that sound outrageous?
But how much?
$42 for a pizza.
Okay, that is way too much.
I mean, but, like, the place I've just ordered from, which is cheaper, because I wanted to avoid that really expensive pizza, I just ordered a cheaper pizza and didn't get chicken on it to, like, avoid paying, and now it's, like, $35.
Why is pizza that expensive?
Because it's a city.
Because it's San Francisco.
It wasn't that expensive when I was in San Francisco.
Our rent has gone up, like...
10%. But, jeez. I mean, it is more expensive because you're getting delivery, first of all, and, like...
Oh, okay.
But...
How much is it before delivery?
I mean, that's as much or more than sushi. So that's ridiculous.
This one I just ordered. Let me look at the thing. Like,
welcome to San Francisco. It's a great place.
Just do, like, Domino's or something.
I have been tempted to just do pizza because, like, I like pizza. It just tastes so much more. I don't mind the taste. I just think it's like, this just feels like death. I will die sooner.
Well, at least it's not like. If you want death, go to a really cheap place like, wow, what is it called? I know it has Caesars in the name.
Oh, Little Caesars?
Oh, it is Little Caesars.
I don't think I've ever been there. But you know, like in Shonen or like manga or anime in general where it's like someone gets hurt or like there's some bargain they have to make where it's like, we can heal you, but it'll take 10 years off your life or something like that. That's how I feel about eating pizza. It's like, this will taste good, but it'll be a year off of my life.
Honestly, just mentioning anime and pizza reminded me of Erased.
Is there pizza in Erased?
I mean, he's a pizza delivery man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. It's like Oasis pizza.
It's like half the plot.
Okay, so the problem. So this pizza that cost $35 I just ordered was the subtitle before any other charges was $26.
That's normal.
But there was a $3 delivery charge, $10 San Francisco bag charge. Sorry, 10 cent bag charge.
I was like, what?
Is it a large pizza?
It's a large, but not an extra large. Normally we get extra large. We have like two servings.
There's a size larger than large?
Yeah.
What is this madness?
Wait, $3 delivery, $2.50 tax, $3.50 tip. So it's like, there's an extra $10 on top of everything almost, which is, everything adds up.
I mean, but you would have to pay the tax anyway.
Sure, yeah. So if I just picked it up in a store, I guess it would save like $6. It would be a $29 pizza. I guess if I drove, do people drive? Is that a thing? It will do. By going to pottages.com/013. By going to pottages.com/014. I actually heard a podcast where they did a thing like this where they like were like, let's go to an ad break. And then we're like, we don't know if we're going to have an ad or not. So we're going to like, they did it like, they did two transitions, one for having an ad, one for not having an ad, and they forgot to cut it out. So it's just like, I was like, oh, oops. I feel bad for you. Let me see if that's a thing. That has to be a thing. Maybe it's too long.
I feel like it is.
Maybe it's too long for the limit. There's no one with that name.
Tsundere Yamato?
I mean, that's like a lot. Okay. Tsundere is a long name.
It's not that long. I think it's fine.
It's not.
There's a limit. It's eight characters, and then Yamato is six, so 14. Should be fine.
I think limit's like 15 or 16, so it's pretty close, but yeah.
Oh my god, can you get that account and we can just like parody tweet all day?
Parody tweet, like... Like, what would Yamato say if he was? I mean, here he is, Tsundere. So it's just like it would just be quotes from Yamato. Like,
it'd be great.
I'm so cool. I play the guitar and the harmonica, but it's not for you.
Maybe I'll be variants of like the typical. What are the typical Tsundere lines? Like, what was the main one? It's not gonna like you or anything.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not doing this because I like you.
Maybe it should just be like pictures of Yamato with typical Tsundere lines. I'm gonna put this down as a thing to do.
Share the podcast with your friends who are Tsundere, but totally deny it. And don't, you know, I didn't read the sentence.
Also, Ashley, I want to applaud you because like every other time you've read the Pettigis is made possible line, you say with the support, and I'm like, no, just why do you always add the, and you didn't add this time.
Wait, do I?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool. Share the podcast with your friends who are Sundere but totally deny it, and don't share it with your friends who have infected butts.
I didn't realize how much that sounds like an actual infection medical thing.
That is a thing that happens to people.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like that might be an age joke, but whatever.
An age joke? Like, do older people have infected butts all the time or something?
AIDS.
No, AIDS.
Oh, AIDS. Oh.
Jeff likes this far less now. Still reading Fruit Basket.
How is it?
Is there a lot of fruit? Is there more or less fruit than last time?
It's not that good. Like.
But how much fruit? You need to quantize the fruit.
But it's still her, right?
What? No, it follows their kids and
no, I mean,
new girl.
The artist person.
But yeah. But she's totally just like made their kids look exactly like them. And the girl looks extremely reminiscent of Toru. And like. Just all this backstory is just like hints of crappiness that I'm like, I just want them to be cute together. Like, let's just skip all, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care that you made a character that looks exactly like the other characters that we actually care about.
Because this is awkwardly timed, because it wouldn't be Pettigis if we weren't releasing episodes randomly and in crazy order. That makes no sense. And Tamer's be back. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. You know you love us. You know you love our craziness.
XOXO.
XOXO.
XOXO, Digi-girl. Digi. And Judy, say bye.
Bye.
Okay. And remember.
Bye, bye, bye.
Oh, God.
Bye,
oh God.
Bye, bye, bye.
And remember, never stop 90s boy banding.